ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Every house has a story. Some are made of memories, good, bad, and the ones we like to pretend didn't happen. But sometimes houses carry stories that aren't written down or spoken aloud. They're lived by the people who have long since gone. Or, well, those who never left at all. Now, let's be honest here. Most of us go through life ignoring the small stuff. A misplaced sock, lights flickering, doors we swear we closed opening on their own. It's just the wind, right? It's always the wind until it isn't. Today's letter comes from someone who thought their new home was nothing more than a stop along the way. An old rickety trailer they could tolerate long enough to save some money. But as they were about to find out, the place came with more than just furniture and cheap rent. When objects start moving on their own, shadows linger too long in the hallways, and a child's blanket keeps vanishing into thin air, things get complicated. The strangest part? What they encounter isn't exactly malicious, not hostile, but not welcome either. It's that gray area of the paranormal that really makes you wonder. Are we just intruding in someone else's space, someone who was here long before us? So buckle up, folks, because this one. It starts with an old house, a missing blanket, and a lot of questions with answers we may never fully understand. And if you thought shadows only come out at night, well, you might want to think again. Dear Tony, I hope this message finds you well. I've always been skeptical when it comes to the paranormal, to the point where I joke that ghosts were for other people to deal with, not me. But after what happened in that old trailer house, well, let's just say, I've got more questions than answers. My husband Clint and I never thought we'd be the type to share a story like this. Yet here I am, writing it all out for you. I need to get it off my chest, and maybe, just maybe, someone else will understand. It all started the moment we moved in. Our little trailer house was old, practically ancient, and honestly, it was more of a stepping stone for us, a place to save money and move on from as quickly as possible. The rent was low, and it came fully furnished, which was perfect since Clint and I didn't have much between us. The place didn't have any central heating or air, so we had to make do with what we had. Still, we were excited to make it ours. Clint worked long hours, so most of the time, it was just me and my daughter, Hope, from my previous marriage. Life seemed simple at first. We spent the first couple of nights unpacking, arranging furniture, and settling in. The house felt quiet, peaceful even, like any other old place trying to hold itself together. When Clint was home, everything seemed normal, but once he left for work, things started to shift. Small things at first. It was on one of those early afternoons when I experienced the first unsettling moment. Hope was napping, and I was sitting at the kitchen table playing Yahtzee by myself with the radio on low. I was completely immersed in counting dice when, out of nowhere, I heard my name through the radio. It wasn't part of the song. It was a static, crackly voice like an old answering machine recording. I froze, listening closely. And then, there it was again. My name, clear as day, cutting through the music. My heart began pounding in my chest. I could feel my pulse in my temples, each beat thudding so hard it blurred my vision. Then, before I could make sense of what was happening, the volume knob on the radio began to twist on its own, slowly, deliberately. The music swelled until it was blaring. The whole room felt electric, like static running under my skin, prickling the hairs on my arms. Something was there. I knew it, even if I couldn't see it. And just like that, it was over. The sound of Hope's tiny feet pattering into the kitchen snapped me out of my paralysis. Her big, sleepy blue eyes squinted against the light as she rubbed her face with her little fists. The loud music must have woken her. I forced a smile, more for myself than for her, and turned off the radio, unplugging it for good measure. I scooped her into my arms, holding her tighter than usual, feeling oddly comforted just by her presence. I told Clint about what had happened later that night. He told me not to worry, said I should try to communicate with it if it happened again. I shot that idea down right away. I didn't want to welcome whatever it was, let alone start talking to it. I figured if I ignored it, it would go away. But it didn't. The next encounter came just a few nights later. It started with Hope screaming, a sharp, frantic scream that jolted me awake. I leapt out of bed and raced down the narrow hallway toward her room, my heart pounding harder with every step. I found her sitting upright in bed, knees pulled to her chest, glaring at me with angry, tear-filled eyes. "Why did you take my blankets?" she asked, her little voice trembling with frustration. I bent down, expecting to find the blankets on the floor. Hope was known to kick them off in her sleep. But they weren't there. I searched the room, confusion creeping in.
"Maybe you moved them, sweetheart," I suggested gently. But she wasn't buying it.
She grabbed my hand and insisted we check my room first. I knew the blanket wouldn't be there, but I followed her down the hallway anyway, switching on lights as we went. Nothing. The blanket wasn't on my bed, the floor, or anywhere in the room. Hope's little face scrunched in frustration, and she tugged me toward the kitchen next. We flicked on the light, and again, no blanket. At this point, I was starting to feel a bit unsettled. Something about the whole situation felt off. The memory of the radio incident flashed through my mind, and a knot formed in my stomach. Finally, we checked the living room, but the blanket wasn't there either. Now I was starting to feel nervous. Where could it have gone? I was about to suggest we give up and head back to bed when a strange thought struck me. I hadn't checked the bathroom. Leaving Hope behind, I walked down the hall to the small bathroom, flipped on the light, and there it was, her blanket folded neatly in the bathtub. My heart dropped. There was no way Hope could have folded it like that. She was barely old enough to fold a hand towel, let alone a thick comforter. I stared at it for a moment, my mind racing. I tossed the blanket over my shoulder and carried it back to Hope's room. I tucked her in, kissed her goodnight, and tried to shake off the eerie feeling that lingered in the air. But deep down I knew this wasn't just a coincidence. Something strange was happening in that house. Every night after that, the same thing would happen. At exactly 2:15 a.m., Hope would wake up, angry and upset that her blanket had been stolen again. And every morning, without fail, I would find it folded in the bathtub. It was always the same routine. I even started leaving a second comforter on her bed, hoping it would help. But no matter what I did, the Powerpuff Girls blanket always ended up in the bathroom. Then, the night before Clint was due to come home, something changed. I was sitting in bed, flipping through channels on the TV when I felt it. The distinct sensation of being watched. I glanced toward the hallway, expecting to see Clint standing there, but instead I saw a shadow. It was small, childlike, and stood perfectly still between the bathroom door and my room. But unlike other encounters with shadows, this one didn't bring fear. It felt warm, almost comforting, like a gentle presence wrapping itself around me. I stared at it, unblinking, and just as quickly as it had appeared, it melted away into the air, leaving nothing but silence behind. And then, right on cue, Hope woke up, crying about her missing blanket again. I rushed to the bathroom, retrieved the blanket, and tucked her back in. But this time, I did something different. Sitting on the edge of her bed, I spoke aloud, keeping my voice calm but firm. "This blanket belongs to my daughter, Hope," I said. "You're welcome to be here with her, but please leave her covered at night. It's cold, and I don't want her getting sick." I paused, listening to the stillness around me. Then I folded a spare comforter and placed it at the foot of her bed. "This one's for you," I whispered. "A gift from me and Hope." The next morning, for the first time in weeks, Hope didn't wake up cold. Her Powerpuff Girls blanket stayed right where it was, tucked around her little body. But the spare comforter, that one was in the bathtub, folded neatly as if by invisible hands. And that's how it stayed for the rest of our time in that house. Every morning, I'd find the spare blanket folded in the bathtub. When it came time to move, we left that comforter behind, neatly folded at the foot of Hope's bed. It felt right, like a parting gift to whoever or whatever had shared that space with us. We haven't had any encounters like that since we left the trailer, but every now and then, I think back to those nights and wonder, who was the little shadow in the hallway? And why did it want that blanket so badly? The comfort of knowing that whatever had been in our home seemed to accept the offering was a small relief. Hope slept through the nights without waking up angry, and we began to fall back into a routine. Clint returned home, and for the next few days, things seemed normal. But normal didn't last very long. There were still small, strange happenings. At first, they were harmless enough, things like lights flickering for no reason or the TV turning on by itself. Clint and I brushed them off as quirks of an old trailer house. But then the occurrences became more deliberate. The air would feel thick at certain times, like stepping into a room filled with tension that you couldn't quite place. Objects would shift slightly from where we left them, small but noticeable changes. Hope's toys moved from one end of the living room to the other, or Clint's work gloves ending up in the bathroom sink without explanation. One night, after Hope was fast asleep and Clint and I were curled up on the couch watching a movie, we heard a distinct tapping sound coming from the kitchen. It wasn't random. It was rhythmic. Tap, tap, tap. Three precise knocks on the wall, followed by a pause, and then again, tap, tap, tap. We both looked at each other, trying to pretend it was nothing, but the unease between us was palpable. "Probably just the wind," Clint mumbled, though we both knew the windows were shut tight. Still, I decided to get up and check. As I stepped into the kitchen, the tapping stopped. The room felt colder than the rest of the house, like a pocket of chilled air hanging heavy around me. My skin prickled, and I found myself whispering, "Is someone here?" even though I didn't want an answer. Nothing replied, and I quickly walked back to the couch, trying to ignore the sense that I was being watched. Then came the voices. It started subtly, a faint murmur in the background when no one else was talking. Clint thought it was the neighbors, but the sound seemed to be coming from inside the house, not from outside. Sometimes I'd be folding laundry in the bedroom and hear my name, whispered softly from another room. I'd call out, thinking Clint needed me, but he wouldn't have said a word. One evening, while Clint was working late, I was alone with Hope again. I tucked her in, kissed her goodnight, and settled in bed myself, trying to wind down with a book. That's when I heard the faint sound of Hope's door creak open. I didn't think much of it at first. Maybe she needed the bathroom. But then I heard the distinct pitter-patter of small footsteps walking down the hall, followed by the soft shuffle of blankets being dragged. I got up to see what she was doing, but as I peeked into the hallway, there was no sign of her. Her door was shut, and when I opened it, she was still in bed, sound asleep. But the hallway light, which I knew I'd left off, was flickering. Not a steady flicker, but a slow, deliberate dimming, like something was playing with it. The next day I told Clint what had happened. He stayed quiet for a moment before finally saying, "I think whatever it is, it's still here, but it doesn't feel dangerous." I nodded, trying to convince myself that Clint was right, but then came the final incident that forced us to take action. It was around 2 a.m., always, for some reason, around that same time. Hope started crying, but it wasn't her usual tantrum about the blanket. This time, her sobs were full of fear. Clint and I rushed to her room, expecting to find her blankets missing again. But when we threw open the door, we found something else. The room was freezing. The air felt heavy, oppressive, and the sight that greeted us made my stomach churn. Every single one of Hope's stuffed animals, dozens of them, had been moved from the shelves and were now arranged in a perfect circle on the floor. Hope sat in the middle of them, clutching her Powerpuff Girls blanket, her face wet with tears. She looked up at me and whispered, "It doesn't want me to be cold, Mommy." My heart broke. This wasn't just some prank by an unseen spirit. This felt deliberate, almost like an attempt to care for her in a twisted way. Clint and I exchanged a look, the unspoken agreement between us clear. It was time to leave. We packed up the next morning. I explained to Hope, as best I could, that we were moving to a new place, somewhere where she could sleep peacefully every night. She didn't ask many questions. It was almost as if she understood more than we did. Before we left, I did one final thing. I walked into Hope's room, grabbed the blanket that had become part of our strange nightly ritual, and folded it neatly. I carried it to the bathroom and placed it gently in the tub, right where it had been found every morning. As strange as it sounds, it felt like the right thing to do, a goodbye, in a way, to whatever had been sharing the space with us. We moved to a new apartment in town, and the activity stopped entirely. No more moving blankets, no more shadows in the hallway, no more strange noises in the night. It was as if whatever had been attached to that trailer stayed behind, content with the blanket we left as a parting gift. And then every now and then, Clint and I talk about our time in that old trailer, wondering what it all meant. Was it a spirit trying to make a connection? A lost soul looking for comfort in the small, quiet moments of our lives? Or was it simply the house itself filled with memories we couldn't understand? Whatever the case, I'll never forget the feeling of that warm shadow in the hallway, or the strange kindness behind those stolen blankets. And though I'll always wonder who or what was with us in that house, I take some comfort in knowing that, in the end, we left things on peaceful terms. Thank you, Tony, for giving me the space to share this story. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what might have been going on. Sincerely, Megan. Well, folks, what do you make of that one? I mean, a spirit with a thing for blankets, and that's a new one, even for me. And I've heard some bizarre stuff, but what gets me about this story isn't just the eerie factor. It's the intent. The entity, or whatever it was, didn't seem aggressive. Just strange. Almost like it was trying to connect, but in a way we couldn't really understand. Now, from a non-paranormal perspective, we could chalk this up to the quirks of an old house. You know, faulty wiring making the radio go nuts. And maybe Hope was sleepwalking when those blankets were ending up in the tub. Sleep deprivation, stress from moving. All valid explanations. And hey, kids are weird sometimes, right? Maybe Hope was playing a game that even she didn't fully understand, dragging the blanket off to the bathroom in her sleep and not remembering a thing about it. But then there's that shadow Megan saw in the hallway, and the way everything seemed to stop, just stop, when they left that extra blanket as a kind of peace offering. That part sends a little chill down my spine, I won't lie. If this was just a rational series of events, why did the strange activity respond so directly to their actions? Why did it leave Hope alone only after being given the other blanket? And could it be that they weren't dealing with a spirit that meant harm, but one that simply needed comfort? Maybe it was drawn to Hope because it saw her innocence as something familiar, something it missed from its own existence. Or maybe it wasn't even aware it was causing trouble, like an echo from the past, repeating habits from when it was alive. The way Megan described that warm, calming presence makes me wonder if it was a lost soul trying to find peace in their little family's routine. What's also curious is that the activity didn't follow them to the new place. If it had been tied to Megan or Hope personally, you'd think it would have hitched a ride. But no, it stayed in that old trailer, right where it started. And the fact that the blanket stayed behind in the bathtub like a final gift makes me think that maybe, just maybe, whatever was there found what it needed after all. Or maybe it's still there waiting for the next family to move in, hoping they'll leave an extra blanket too. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for tuning in. Sleep tight. And don't forget to check under your bed tonight.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.